and Steve Brown, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Again, it has been over a year since I've had Kathy Dungerson as my guest on Education Matters, so I'm pleased to welcome her to our WGTD studios today. Kathy is the Director of Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Welcome, Kathy, and thank you for taking your time to share with our listeners information about the before and after school programs that are available in Racine Unified. Kathy is a Racine native and has been in this position some 17 years, so she has excellent understanding of Racine as a community and the Racine Unified School District. So, Kathy, you once defined yourself for an elementary student as the principal of the after-school programs at his school. So to get us started today, provide our listeners an overview of your position as Director of Extended Learning, and then we'll go into the wonderful details.
Good morning, Dwayne. Thank you for having me. Yes, a little boy once came up to me and said, "So who are you?" And I had to think. Now, they wouldn't know what the director meant, so I said, "Well, I'm like the principal of after school." And he's like, "Oh, okay." So we understood it. That was great. So now that's, I saw a little child last night at one of our programs and said the same thing. And she's like, "Oh, okay." So they get it when I say that.
But see, and that's good teaching, too, because you put it in his level.
But as the director of the program, my responsibilities are to manage all of the sites that we have and to develop curriculum, hire staff, help sites determine what they need for their schools, because each school is a little bit unique and individual about what they need for their students and their families. And then, you know, manage the financial aspects of it as well.
Okay, so you run the whole ship there. Great. By the way, the grades K to 5 programs are called Lighted Schoolhouse, and the middle school, high school programs are called After Zones. Is that correct?
Yes. When we first started this program some 19 years ago, the director at that time gave all the programs, the name of Lighted Schoolhouse. And then about 7 years ago, we were entering into a phase where we wanted to distinguish the difference between our elementary programs and our middle and high school programs, because there is a difference.
Right.
And so we decided to call them After Zones. And the difference being, the majority of our elementary students attend the program Monday through Thursday, because our programs operate Monday through Thursday, anywhere from 1.5 hours to 3 hours after school. It depends on what time the school day ends. And then our middle and high schools run more like clubs. Most of the classes are 2 days a week, and students at that level select the classes that they want. So, you know, they may only come 2 days a week versus a four-day-a-week program.
Or they could participate in a couple programs and go all 4 days of that, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And many of them do. They want to take more than one class at a time. So they could take two classes a day, maybe two classes a week, so up to four classes usually for the middle
sure.
and high school.
So when I visited with you earlier this week, you indicated that you have added some new sites to your programming this year. Tell our listeners about your sites, the elementary, middle, and so on.
So this year we have 14 elementary sites.
14.
And they are all over the school district. We're not in every elementary school yet, but that is our strategy, is to have a program in every school.
So ultimately that's your goal, is every school?
Yes. Every school would have an after-school program.
And not only does that provide enrichment then for the kids, but it also provides safe daycare for kids and for parents who are working.
Yes, and we truly believe that that's a good thing for students, especially our elementary students. We know parents work, and we would rather have children participating in our great, fun academic programs and enrichment programs after school than being what we used to refer to children as latchkey kids. They would
yes.
go home and just have to stay in the house until their parents came home from work.
Right. Okay, let's talk middle schools then.
So we are in every middle school, and that includes our what we call now our new K-8 campuses. Mitchell, Gifford, and Gerstead are K-8 campuses, meaning They have students from kindergarten, well, 4K actually, through eighth grade. And then we have some traditional middle schools, Gilmore, Starbuck, and McKinley. And then for our high schools, we are at Case and the Real School. And then we have five community centers that we partner with to provide programs. Some of them are park and recreation centers, George Bray Center, the Mead Street Cop House, which is the Mount Pleasant Cop House, and then Cops and Kids Reading Center.
Wonderful. So you're working, cooperating then with the City of Racine Park and Rec Department then in terms of providing sites, and I'm sure they're happy to work with you too.
Oh, yeah. That's been a wonderful partnership with the City of Racine, the community centers, trying to enrich their programs and then bring some of what we do into their programs as well.
Okay. You have mentoring programs as well for 4th through 8th grade students. Tell our listeners about those and how they can help in terms of these mentoring programs.
About 7 years ago, with a grant through UW Parkside, we started a mentoring program just for our middle school at-risk students, those who may not be doing well in school. They might not have had, you know, the best home life. And so we started working with middle schools to get that going. And then we expanded it to include 4th and 5th graders because we felt that, you know, they're going to bubble up into middle school. So, okay, you know, let's start working with some younger children. And then last year we added 9th grade because then, of course, our 8th graders are transitioning into 9th grade. And a lot of our mentors did not want to let their mentee go. They still wanted to maintain that
wonderful
relationship. So right now we have 75 individual one-on-one mentoring. And we also do something called peer-to-peer or group mentoring. That started last year. And that's been really successful, where we bring children together, students together, during the school day. It might be during their lunchtime. And a group of maybe 10 or 12 of them will sit with a facilitator or their mentor and, you know, discuss what's going on, maybe issues that are happening in the school,
yes,
maybe issues that are happening at home, and they kind of help each other out. So it's a peer-to-peer mentoring. And with that, we've got a little over 200 children participating in that.
Wonderful.
But we're always looking for mentors. You know.
So here's where our listeners come in.
If anyone would like to become a one-on-one mentor for a child between the age of 10 and 15, they could contact our office, and I have a mentoring coordinator who coordinates the whole mentoring program. He provides training for adults who want to mentor youth, come in for a couple-hour training, and they get, you know, some materials and things and help them feel like they, you know, can help do that mentoring with a child. We have a lot of retired individuals that come
wonderful
back into our schools. We work with the Racine Senior Volunteer Center and churches and, well, businesses, basically anyone that would like to, you know, mentor a child. And that can happen during the school day or after school at one of our after-school sites.
And what's the telephone number that they should call if they're interested in being a mentor?
Area code 262-664-6990.
Okay, and now those mentors do have to be vetted, though, and don't they, in terms of security and that sort of thing?
Right. We have our mentors. They go through what the district calls it the WINGS application. It's a background check to make sure that, you know, an individual is allowed to work with children. That's our main concern. And once they are processed through the, you know, background check, then our site coordinator, our mentoring coordinator, will then contacts them, and we get the paperwork started. He connects them with a youth. He matches them up, you know, because we find out interests of the mentor and then interests of the mentee, and then he tries to match them that way.
Boy, that's great, too, because that then you're getting people who have skills and knowledge in an area and working with the child who's interested in that area.
Yeah, we had one parent who called us and said, they wanted to find somebody who was into the engineering field because her child was very interested in, you know, exploring things and finding things. And so, you know, Curtis Woods is my mentor coordinator. He, you know, then set out to try to find an individual that would, you know, match up with that. And he found the young man one, so it worked out really well.
Oh, that's really great. That's really Oh, wonderful, then, for the child, and also, I'm surely encouraging for the mentor.
Oh, I'm a mentor myself. I actually had a young lady. I started mentoring her at the end of sixth grade, and she just recently graduated last year. From high school. Now she's going to college. So that was a really rewarding experience, and we still keep in touch with each other. We generally get together once a month, and to me that's just been a really rewarding experience to help a child, build their self-esteem,
yes,
feel better about themselves, and really help them set goals and make that career choice that they want to.
And maybe answer questions that their parents aren't able to answer or don't know the answers to or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's great. Your website indicates that the AfterZone programs provide middle school students with a safe learning place to engage in academic help, career exploration, clubs, and enrichment activities, and that this is funded through the U.S. Department of Education's 21st Century Learning Grants, RESD funds, and community partner funding. Tell our listeners about this and what a wonderful way of maximizing outcomes for this combination of funding.
So it's always been my belief that we should look for resources for children to, help them engage in better academics. Obviously, my goal is academic support for these kids, but we try to find that uniqueness, that something that they like to do that keeps them engaged in learning. And so part of our programs are funded through the federal grants. The district has been very supportive over the years and has provided a substantial amount of money for us to provide these after-school programs. And then we work closely with agencies in our community, like I said, Park and Recreation Department and several others, to bring their services into the school. And when they do that, they're using their own resources and their funding to do so. So we then are considered blending our funding to maximize resources.
Wonderful. Oh, that's really important. And so one of the skills that you have then is being able to pull all of this stuff together to get great programs for our children.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think about it, but in reality, it is a lot of coordination of a lot of different things that have to happen to make these programs successful. And I enjoy doing it. It's been, I think over the years, the number of children that we have seen go through these programs and that we continue to help, that's the rewarding part.
So your enrollment grows up every year, is that right?
As we continue to add locations. When I first started 17 years ago, we at the time had three large federal grants, so we had 23 locations. And then 2 years into that, those three federal grants went away because they were short duration. And then we went down to five programs when I became the director. I was the assistant director for a couple years. And then we've grown from five locations to, we have, what did I say, 14, 19, like 25, 26 locations now. So we're back bigger than we were when we had all this federal money at one time. And so that part of it's been very successful. And then that whole partnering with our community places has been another goal, because I don't believe children just have to learn at school. They should be able to go to locations where they live. Maybe it's more convenient for them to take the school bus home and then go to a center where their house is near. So that has been real successful.
Okay, and you've mentioned Racine Park and Rec, working with them in terms of programs. What about Focus on Community? What do you do with Focus on Community?
Well, Focus has done several programs for us. One of their unique programs is called Be the Change, and that's one of our middle school programs where the base of their program is to try to keep children from becoming involved in drugs and alcohol, because that's their focus.
Right.
But they do it in unique ways with different types of classes. This past summer, they did a cooking class and incorporated that same, goals as far as helping kids stay away from, drugs and alcohol. They did that at one of our middle schools, and it was really successful because kids like to cook and eat.
So that was a summer program.
Summer, yep.
At what school was that at?
That was at Starbuck.
Starbuck, okay.
And this year they're at Mitchell Middle School for us right now. And then they also do Families and Schools Together, a FAST program.
Oh, good.
That's where it's a 10-week program where families come to the schools, and there is learning that goes on for the parents, and there's learning that goes on for the children, and then they come together, and there's, activities that they all participate in as a family, so it's helping strengthen the family. That's
so this
really
is a family kind of a program, not just the child.
We do offer programs for families. In fact, part of our criteria for our grant-funded programs, and we've incorporated it everywhere, is to provide education for the adult family members and or activities for the families, you know, doing together. So one of our main programs for adults right now is our ESL classes. So we have two.
And that's English as a second language. Go ahead.
Yes, I know. Educators are all about acronyms. Sorry about that. So our two English as a second language classes, one is held at Mitchell Middle School two nights a week, and one is starting up at Fratt Elementary School two nights a week for our adults who cannot speak English. And so we really are trying to immerse them in, you know, everyday English and, you know, language, school language, to help them communicate with their child's teacher and the schools in general.
So who do you work with? Are there organizations that you work with to identify these people and in terms of people who need second language experiences?
Well, generally speaking, we reach out to all of our families that their child is in one of our ESL classes or our dual language programs. That's our primary target for them, but we also make it available. You know, information is available in the community so that families can participate. You know, Racine does have other programs that offer the ESL classes, like Gateway Technical College, and the Racine Literacy Council also offers those classes. But we're just, you know, we do have a large population of Hispanic families, and we know that's a need in our community to provide as many opportunities for parents to participate and gain that English language.
Okay, and this makes the point that for our listeners, that Racine Unified then really is looking at who are the clients that they're serving, who are the children they're serving, and then what are the needs of not only those children, but the needs of their families, so the families then can support the children in getting a better education.
We have a new department in the school district called Family and Community Engagement, and that is a very big focus of our superintendent to help our families understand what we're providing as far as education for their child, and then also helping them as an adult if they need that extra education as well. So that department offers a series of classes that, you know, if listeners are interested, they can call my office and I would connect you. I can't remember what their number is, but or you can call the main office and they could, you know, direct people to that.
Okay, and so then who heads up that department then?
Dr. Chrisiella Sutton. She's new to our district this year. She comes to us from, actually from the Wisconsin Department of Instruction. She's from
Public
Madison.
Instruction? Mm-hmm. DPI?
DPI.
Wonderful.
And did some of the similar work at the state level. So we're lucky to have her. It's really growing into a nice opportunity for our families and our adults especially to engage in that learning process with their child.
Yeah, and so not only is Reunified educating the children, they're then working with parents so that the parents then can do a better job of working with their children and having them maximize what they learn in school.
You know, it's a community that raises a child, so
that's
we all
right.
have to work together to do it, and that means families and community members in the school district.
Well, that gets back to that African saying, okay. Non-Unified students are also able to participate in your programs. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, we are open to any child that resides in the Racine Unified School District boundary area. So, you know, basically that's from Interstate 94 east to the lake within Racine County. We reach out to our private and parochial schools, provide them the information about our after-school programs, make sure that they have, you know, registration forms and all the information they would need to provide to their families. And we do have children that participate during the school year, not as many as in the summer, but we do have children that come from our, you know, private and parochial schools, and we welcome them because we're open for anyone.
And you get more of those private and parochial school students in the summertime for summer programs because I suppose their schools don't have such.
I think that's probably primarily the reason. I think the only school that offers summer programming aside from Unified is Prairie School, so... you know, families need something for their children to do in the summertime, so we provide a nice summer camp through my department and in partnership with the school district, who provides more of that academic intervention in the morning, and then I do the afternoon program.
Is that growing, too? Are your summer programs growing then as a result of that? So, you know, you typically think of summer school as, I guess, enrichment or remediation, mm-hmm. and maybe more emphasis on remediation. Are those programs growing then?
You know, generally speaking, we have anywhere from 10 to 12 elementary sites that are selected for summer school for okay. the remediation and some enrichment, and then generally two middle schools and one or two high schools. So as far as location goes, that hasn't really changed much.
Uh-huh.
But what we're doing in partnership with the daytime program is then providing after-school opportunities at all of those locations and at our community partner sites. So we're trying to build that base where children have opportunities to, you know, go and participate.
Right, okay. And so do you sit down with what the summer school people and decide on what schools then you're going to be offering programs at for each summer? Is that it? Or do they decide and tell you?
Sometimes a little bit of both, but primarily what drives our summer school locations is our buildings and grounds with the maintenance. So if a school is under maintenance for the summer, then they're not going to be used for summer school. And, you know, when the referendum passed a couple years ago, we've been doing a lot of maintenance in our
Wonderful.
Schools. So generally speaking, that's what drives the locations where summer school is being offered.
Okay, so how should parents of non-unified students proceed if they want their child or children to participate in these programs? And you said to me on the phone earlier this week that you do make presentations at private and parochial schools too, is that right?
We recently invited all of the private and parochial school principals, leaders, into a meeting at Unified's central office to share with them all of the classes that are provided to non-unified students. So aside from our extended learning program, we have credit recovery for high school students who need to recover a credit, and that's open to non-unified high school students as long as their school would accept that credit. We also introduce our family and community engagement office and the programs that are being offered to adults and family members. And then we also recently, this past year, I think it started a year ago, but we have several mental health clinics now in our schools. And
really?
And we opened a community mental health clinic on Northwestern Avenue across from Gilmore. It used to be the old Curtin Medical Building. Most people in Racine remember it as that.
Yes.
But now it's our alternative education site, and it's also the location for our new community health clinic.
So how does a person get identified then for participating in this mental health clinic or whatever?
It's open to adults and children, and, you know, they can call or just walk in and, you know, ask for an appointment. Some referrals may start at the process with the school, social workers or our counselors might talk to families and engage in that conversation. So it's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm.
Are you tied in any way to distance learning and connecting people with the opportunities through distance learning?
So we do have a virtual learning program, and that's our online distance learning, as you would call it. That's not part of my program, but I do refer families there if there's any interest into it. We actually have quite a few children that participate in our virtual learning program. I can't exactly tell you how many, but now that department is also located at that campus over on Northwestern Avenue.
Okay, and the nice thing about your office and so forth, if you're not the person who is available or responsible for that, you can refer them to where they should contact in the Unified.
Yeah, I like to think of our office as kind of like the connection to a lot of different departments in the district. I think because I've worked for the district for so long that I know of all the departments, and
yes.
I just think that one of our goals in our department is to connect family to resources, so I make sure that my staff who answer our phones are knowledgeable about all of the different programs that are available.
Why don't you give your telephone number again, just so people can have that?
It's area code 262-664-6990.
Okay, so now let's talk about some of the programs. Circles of Support was one of the programs that you wanted to talk about.
So this is a new program that's being offered started out a couple of years ago. It's a partnership with the UW Extension in Madison. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Jeffrey Lewis developed this approach for working with youth to look at a child's abilities rather than disabilities and help build on those abilities and help provide that child or find that child the resources, the links, the people in their life that can help support them. And so we started at Dr. Jones 2 years ago and saw how successful it was. We started with a group of about 15 to 20 boys, third to fifth grade. Okay. And we were really trying to look at identifying children who might be identified for special ed. So our district has been cited by DPI for having a high disproportionality of children of color being identified for special education services.
Okay.
And we were trying to figure out why is that happening. So we
and what you can do about it, huh?
Right. And then how can we provide that intervention and that support so that that child doesn't go down that path? So we started with this approach, and like I said, it's really about providing extra support for them, i.e. a mentor kind of person who's there that they can talk to during the school day, might go get them out of class because they're having a rough day in class. They're just to support the school in general as well. And so that we had success with that program.
It showed, Dr. Jones.
At Dr. Jones. It showed students attending school more, their
Beautiful.
Grades better, and the reduction of those kids being then referred for special education services. And then we opened another program at Julian Thomas the next year. And again, we're seeing the same results at our elementary schools. So this past year, the deputy superintendent, Dr. Eric Gallion, sorry about that, wanted to look at this approach that we could use at our middle schools because we were seeing the same thing happening. And so we looked and we identified schools that we were seeing high incidences of suspensions and office referrals for children of color.
Right.
And what could we do about it? So we hired, we now have these people that are called youth advocates, and they work with these young people on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
Helping them with their, you know, life skills, helping them with, you know, problems that they're having in school, helping them with their academics, and just being that good role model, coach, mentor.
And maybe a mentor.
And we're also connecting them, some of these students, or as many as we can, with the one-on-one mentoring. So we're combining both of our mentoring program and our circles of support program to, you know, again, provide that support that some of these kids really need.
And so how many schools are involved in this program then?
We have five elementary sites and five middle school sites.
Wonderful. So that pretty well covers the middle school sites, is that right?
Yes, the only school that's not participating is Gifford.
Gifford, okay.
And then, of course, our two 6-12 schools, Real School and Walden. But the traditional five middle schools, as we used to call them, are all participating. And then at the elementary level, we brought on three more schools this year.
And you've got some good data to support the success of this program then?
Yes. You know, we have at least 2 years with the two elementary schools.
Yes.
And we're just assuming or making that assumption that if it worked at the elementary level, it will work at the middle school level. So, and at the middle school level, there are more youth advocates. At the elementary, we just have one in each school. But at the middle school, they have anywhere from 3 to 4.
Really?
The population being bigger.
And these are almost like, what, guidance counselor types of people,
you know,
is that right? Or social worker type of people or whatever?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they are there to help support the social workers and the counselors as well because, you know, it's all like a team approach for working
Excellent.
With these children.
Okay, let's talk about some other programs that are involved in your overall program. Credit recovery, I know, was one.
We still offer credit recovery at Case High School, and we will also be opening a credit recovery program at the George Bray Center.
Okay, tell our listeners what credit recovery really is then.
So credit recovery is where a child student can retake a class that they have failed at the high school level. So a child fails a class, they don't receive credit for that class, and you know, students have to have a certain number of credits to graduate from high school. So this program allows that if they failed a class in semester one, they can retake it in semester two and not fall behind and not, you know, have the possibility of not graduating.
Okay. So that's a really an important kind of a program, too. So at this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I am visiting with Kathy Dunkerson, Director of Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Our program is focused on the before and after school programs available in Racine Unified, ranging from help with homework, enrichment, and daycare. Now back to our program. And before, what about daycare? I mean, can before school type of thing or after school, is there such?
There are several schools that have daycare in Racine Unified, and the daycare is provided by, you know, licensed daycare providers.
Yes.
We have, right now, we just work with two, and that could expand. We work with the Racine YMCA that provides programming at some sites, and then TLC provides programs at some sites. Generally speaking, the schools that do not have extended learning in them, we try to make sure that there's child care there.
Okay. And the idea, too, then, is that the school isn't responsible. These outside agencies are responsible for running those programs. Yes, I know.
Yeah,
I'm really glad for that, because I think teachers and school administrators have enough on their plate without having to add, you know, something else to it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we know that, well, the parents were, you know, needing child care for their child before or after school based on whatever school location. And it's important to provide those services as well to families because, you know, parents are working and they need a safe place for their child
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. Okay. Now, one of the things that you told me when I talked to you on the phone earlier this week was that you told me about your programs are divided into three 10-week modules and that your second module for the school year starts, what, on December 7th?
Yes.
And so you're marketing now for that. Tell our listeners about that.
So our program operates on three 10-week modules throughout the year. This way children get an opportunity to participate in almost every, you know, type of class that we offer.
Yes.
We want to give them choice. On December 7th, we will start our new module. And each school will have a list of classes that will be offered. We try to change things up. Elementary schools, tend to stay the same type of class, and we offer everything from reading and math intervention, because we know we have some students that are struggling in those areas,
yes.
and they need to get that extra support. They can get homework help. We have classes like a new class this year that has really been popular with the students is called The Author, and this is where children are authoring their own book. They are writing their own book, and it then gets published, and they get to keep it. That's pretty unique. And then we have some engineering classes, and we have programs in STEM, robotics.
What about robotics? I have a grandson who's in sixth grade in a Minnesota school district, and he's into robotics.
Oh, that's really popular with the kids. It's offered at all of our middle schools and a few of our elementary schools. We use some Lego Education EV3 robotics, and the children literally build their robots and have to learn to program them on a computer to make the robot do what you want it to do.
Okay.
And then you can do a variety of different programming options for anything from picking up a ball to most recently one of our instructors helped design a robot that could actually solve a Rubik's Cube. It was pretty amazing watching that.
I can imagine.
So those are hands-on engaging classes that kids like. Cooking classes is another class that children
Beautiful.
Really like. And that's learning math at the same time as learning all about nutrition and how to
do
cook.
Do you have any gardening classes? I think my next program is going to deal with gardening.
We do, actually.
Wonderful.
We have a really nice gardening program at Frat Elementary. A teacher there teaches the children everything from starting the seeds, learning about soil, to planting them, watching them grow, keep taking care of the garden, then harvesting it, and then making food with what came out of that garden.
Oh, beautiful.
And so it's a year-long process, and they're starting right now with, they're learning about soil and, how to get the soil prepared, and then in another few weeks, they will start their indoor seeds. It's just been a pretty phenomenal program, and they we have six garden beds outside in the yard at Frat. We have a mulching bin where we can throw, you know, weeds in there to get the mulch that you need to put in the dirt, and then we have a water rain barrel, so we teach children about collecting water and not just using it out of a faucet. So there's so much that you can learn from gardening, and we work with the UW Extension Master Gardeners.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They come in and help do, you know, teach some of the classes with the teacher.
In fact, that's who's going to be on my program, I think, in January and so forth, we're dealing with those people. Does Wadowitz have a gardening program or not?
You know, they used to. I still think the teachers there are keeping that one up. I shouldn't say this. I do have an after-school program at Wadowitz, but it's contracted out to the YMCA, and it's called our Young Leaders Academy. So it's a unique, specific program for that school that school wanted, and it works out very well. But they don't do gardening in their program. But I do know that Wadowitz at one time had like 8 raised garden beds.
How many?
8.
Oh, that's really good. Now, what if I'm a parent of a child at Frat Elementary, but there's a program at Wadowitz I'd like my kid to participate in? Can he participate if I provide the transportation?
Yes. Students can participate in any of our programs in any building. A parent would be required to transport them there because we don't have busing that takes them from school to school.
But otherwise, they can participate in any of the programs at the school that they're assigned to, and that sort of thing. And then if they can provide transportation, they can go elsewhere. Oh, that's really wonderful. So who staffs your program? You know, when I visited with you earlier this week, you indicated that more and more teachers are coming forward with ideas for programs. So give us some examples, and then let's talk about non-teachers, too.
Okay. So generally, our staff, currently I believe we are at about 240 staff work in all of our after-school programs, and about 75% of them are teachers, certified teachers. And then we also employ educational assistants, what I call youth development workers, people from, they're not part of Unified, they're just, you know, individuals in our community that would like to learn to work with children. And then, of course, we have our community agencies that come in as well.
I'm thinking one of the community agencies, Jeanette Brown's agency.
Yes, Girls Inc. That's a wonderful program. We've been partnering with them for many years, and she does a great program with our first and second graders, a reading literacy type program under Girls Inc. And then our third through fifth graders, she does a STEM program for girls, getting girls interested in you know, science,
technology,
engineering and math.
Okay, that's really so. What schools is she at?
Let's see. This year she's at Olympia Brown, Mitchell Elementary, Goodland.
My.
She's at 4 of our schools this year.
Okay, and do you tend to move her around then, or does she choose the schools? How do you do that?
It's been done both ways. This year, I asked her to provide a program at Olympia Brown for us. That was one of our new schools this year, and we thought that would be a good program out there. Generally speaking, she has been in some of our schools for many years, like
Wonderful.
Mitchell. She's been there for many years. But we talk about it, and we just decide, you know, she has a feeling of some schools she'd like to be in, and then I also, you know, request sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Are there programs that you'd like to include if you could find individuals or organizations to develop them, or if there was space or if there were time in the schedule? Are there some programs that you've had, say, difficulty getting into the district?
At some of our sites, we have had some where we would have liked to have provided some programs that we haven't had a chance. And so I'm currently working and trying to bring in more dance and theater, that type of the arts programs into our schools, not just your typical, you know, art drawing type class, but those where kids are learning to perform, learning to dance. Kids like to dance. So we've had some programs in some schools. I just met a young lady recently in Racine who may be able to fill that void for us. I'm meeting with her on Friday, so I'm hoping that we will bring some hip-hop classes to our school.
What kind of classes?
Hip-hop. hip-hop dance. It's, you know,
really
energetic movement. Zumba classes are really fun, that Latin dance kind of stuff. The kids like that as well.
I don't even know what that is.
I've tried it a couple times. It wears you out.
Is that right? And that's part of the purpose of it.
I think so. Well, we like to make sure that our kids are getting some physical fitness as well. You know, academics is one thing, enrichment classes, but kids need physical movement. They need to release some energy. And you know, that, again, is a very important part of a child's health and wellness, is to give them, you know, nutrition and health.
Okay, now that's, you mentioned nutrition. Now, is there nutrition? Are there refreshments for the kids in these after school programs?
Oh yeah, our children are provided a snack every day of, you know, 100% juice, and then I wouldn't call them healthy, but they're, you know, we can give them chips. There's a certain thing through our food menu that we are allowed to give them, but string cheese, yogurt, chips, granola bars, you know. So they receive that each day after school.
And they're hungry after school, and so that's important, too. That.
They are.
That's great. So if Racine Unified were to receive a $50,000 grant to support additional extended learning programs for next school year, what would you choose if the decision were solely up to you? What would you add and where?
Well, right now I'm really looking at trying to enhance more of the STEM programs in our schools and more of the you know, technology and engineering, because that's just the career path of the future. It's just where our, you know, our children need to learn those services, and they need to learn them at a younger age. And then, of course, like I said, the arts is really important to me. I think that children should have that opportunity to get that experience, because it really does provide, you know, growth and development as individuals. So those two areas are important to me, and I would like to see them expanded and enhanced at almost all of our schools, really.
Wonderful. Okay. So, and now our time, we've got about 30 seconds left. Is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing? Your last shot.
Well, we'd like to invite any of the listeners, if you'd like to come out to any of our schools and see what we're offering for children, you're welcome to stop by. You could call our office at 262-664-6990, and we can give you all of the locations and the time that the programs are happening. We encourage people to come out and volunteer as well.
Wonderful. To our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Kathy Dunkerson, Director of Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Our program focused on the before and after school programs available in Racine Unified, ranging from help with homework, enrichment, daycare, etc. Thank you, Kathy, for this most informative program. We wish you well in this most important aspect of programming in the district. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Hello, Peabody here. I'm here with my boy, Sherman.
Hello.
Before you look at your calendar, thinking that it's January and the annual Cartoons on the Radio mashup, don't worry, it's not. As you may be aware, this season on the 91.1 Radio Theater, Brown and Alstrup have been revisiting shows from movies and television. For this show, they had the infinite wisdom to invite me to provide commentary on my own favorite scenes from movies and television.
So we're only going to hear the scenes and not the whole shows, Mr. Peabody?
That's right, Sherman. The 91.1 players will be recreating scenes that I have enjoyed over the many years that I have been an aficionado of the spoken arts. But first, we have something else to do, Sherman.
What's that, Mr. Peabody?
Why, introduce the show.
Good morning and welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater. This morning we welcome Mr. Peabody and his boy Sherman as they host Play It Again, Sam, great scenes from screens large and small. Show 110 in our 13th season. Play It Again, Sam, great scenes from screens large and small, was written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ulstrup and stars members of the 91.1 Players. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dumay and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. And from Lake Lawn Resort on beautiful